Back in 1998, the term distance education was a fairly distant concept. The internet was still young and digital education was just getting off the ground. That was the year the Michigan legislature established Michigan Virtual University. And recently, MVU enrolled its 200,000th online student. Governor Rick Snyder observed the achievement by declaring last Wednesday Digital Learning Day. But can an online education be a viable alternative to traditional classroom learning? To help answer that, we welcome Jamie Fitzpatrick. Jamie's the president and CEO of Michigan Virtual University. Jamie Fitzpatrick, welcome to Current State.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having us.
Tell us how MVU got started. I know it didn't follow the traditional path of a startup. Is that right?
That's probably a good statement. We first, we're not a university, and in the initial days, the real focus of the Michigan Virtual University was workforce development. So we did a lot of things in manufacturing and healthcare and tourism and trying to help deliver education and training to people who are already in the workforce. And then in 2000, the governor and the legislature directed us to create the Michigan Virtual School. So as a private nonprofit organization, we really made a big shift to focus on K-12 education, which is what we've been doing for the last 15 years or so. And the Michigan Virtual School got off the ground in 2000, and I remember that year, I think we enrolled about 95 students, and it was a trick to try to get schools to think about enrolling a high school student in an online course because it was a real foreign concept.
But today you are geared primarily to middle and high school students, correct?
We provide online courses to middle and high school students. Last year we delivered about 24,000 courses to about 500 schools all over the state. And then we deliver online professional development to teachers and parapros and administrators that are actually working in our school buildings. And then we run a research institute because we know this area of online learning is still in its infancy, and there's a lot more research that needs to be done to look at its effectiveness and trying to tease out best practices.
Talk to us about your course offerings. What exactly do you teach?
You know, in the area of world language, we have seven world languages. So we offer French, German, Spanish, Latin, American Sign Language, Japanese, Chinese. We're trying to figure out a way to offer Arabic, but that's a tough one. So if you think of even the most comprehensive high school in the state of Michigan, you know, you'd find most of them may be offering three world languages. So we have a pretty robust offering of world languages. And then we have 20 advanced placement courses. And that gives young people, especially in our small rural communities where there may only be seven or eight kids that have an interest in taking an AP course, and they just simply don't have the economies to make that offering available. So we do a fair number of low-incident types of courses, but you can also take English 9. We have elective courses in computer science, digital photography. So it's a pretty wide range of courses. In our catalog, it's more than 150 online courses. I think the thing that's really important to mention is that we're a supplemental provider, so no one graduates from the Michigan Virtual School. The students that we serve, we do in partnership with Michigan schools, and we're really there to help add on to or supplement their existing schedule with the balance that they take in a physical classroom.
We're talking about digital education and how Michigan students learn in an online setting. Our guest is Jamie Fitzpatrick, the president and CEO of Michigan Virtual University, a nonprofit that was commissioned by the Michigan legislature to promote digital learning. You just celebrated your 200,000th online enrollment. How did you mark that milestone?
Well, we actually have an online learning symposium coming up on April 11th, and that's when we're really going to do the celebration. We have the state superintendent, Brian Wiston, coming in and is one of our keynoters, and we're going to be unveiling some new research about the latest data that we're starting to peel back and look at online learning, not just what we do as an organization, but all online learning that's taking place in the state. And so April 11th will be our official celebration of that 200,000th enrollment.
What about students in terms of this digital learning here? What about the social factor here? How is that impacting young people these days, studying online and not being in the milieu of a classroom?
You know, Mark, that's a fascinating question. And I remember when we first got started teachers and administrators and superintendents and many in the education community were very, very concerned that somehow online learning was going to depersonalize education, and having kids sitting in front of a computer was not going to be good for their education. I think what we have found is in this era of trying to personalize instruction, if you and I were sitting back and remembering our high school days, you know, we typically sat in a classroom with 25 or 30 kids, and there were opportunities for the teacher to personalize things, but they were always done in a group setting. And I think one of the things that we hear from our online instructors who are scattered all over the state is that they get to work with students on a one-on-one basis. The communication skills, the social skills, are obviously really, really important. That's why we're not a full-time provider where kids come to us and they receive all their courses online. We're basically supplementing what they do. But the Internet really has started to change human communication. We know that last year, it's 1 out of 7 or 1 out of 8 individuals that got married in the U.S. actually met online. So this notion that your computer can act and behave like a telephone and a radio and a TV, it's more than just sending text back and forth. It ends up being a fairly rich communication path that mimics a lot of face-to-face interactions. But it continues to be a question in terms of the social communication skills, and we think that that's why the kids stay in school, in physical schools, and we don't see that ending anytime soon.
Does being an online instructor beg for a different skill set than a classroom teacher here?
If you think back to the teachers that you probably liked the most, they may have been the teachers who could really do an outstanding presentation, and they had real good verbal skills in front and classroom management skills.
Of course.
And if you think about, you know, the student who's maybe disruptive, well, we don't have any disruption in a virtual classroom because we're not doing real live video. We'll use rich media, and we'll maybe have a short video segment that the students would watch on their own. There's a lot of threaded discussions where kids are communicating back and forth, but oftentimes not real time. So one of the biggest things that we see as a skill set that teacher needs in an online environment is this persistent to continue to work with and serve each student on an individual basis and not look at this as a group setting activity, because most of the online classes don't have a lot of real-time group activities. And I think that's probably the biggest difference between a face-to-face teacher and an online instructor.
Well, it's all a fascinating development to look back on here these past 15 years or so. We want to thank Jamie Fitzpatrick, President and CEO of Michigan Virtual University, which recently marked its 200,000th online course enrollment. And we've been talking about digital learning for middle and high school students. Jamie, thanks for joining us.
You are welcome. Thank you for having us.